Blessings, everybody. Thank you for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. This is Dale. We are in Psalm 31. We've looked at the first 16 verses of this. We're going to look at the balance of it right now. And the last part of it actually picks up thematic things that David was dealing with at the beginning and some things that we've seen him dealing with all the way through the Psalms. Okay, so here's verse 17. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame, and let them go silently to Sheol. Woo, this is one of those verses that I mentioned previously about how they make us a little nervous, because it's not that they're hateful and there's hatred or anything like that, maybe. Though David did say, I hate those who hate you. I hate those who do this, hate that. You know, that just makes us uncomfortable because we like to think we're so enlightened with some things. But David's just being very honest, very forthright. He says, he'd asked God already, don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies put me to shame. Don't let my enemies put me to shame and thereby put you to shame, Most High God. Don't allow that. But as a matter of fact, God, let the wicked be put to shame and let them go down silently to Sheol. The King James says silently to the grave, and that's exactly what the idea is. May they go down silently. David says, I'm not going down silently. I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm calling out to the Lord. Verse 18, let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. So this gives us some insight into what's happening, what's going on. And there were lying lips about. Yeah, people speaking against the righteous. Okay, I like what the Lexham says. That speak against the righteous, unrestrained with arrogance and contempt. Yeah. Or the King James, we speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. And so that's pretty intense kind of things. David was saying, this is what's going on. So God, how about muting these lying lips, silencing these lying lips? Verse 19, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. And so he's saying, God, deal with these wicked, you know, just may they go silently to Sheol. Will you silence them? Oh, by the way, God, how abundant is your goodness? And the goodness which you've stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you. You ever thought about that? That God has goodness stored up. That God has worked out goodness for those who take refuge. Let me see the other translations. Lexham, stored up for those who fear you, that you perform for those who take refuge. Okay, yeah. Or which you have wrought, as the King James and New American Standard say. God has worked these things out. He stores these things out for the children of mankind, the ones who take refuge in you. Verse 20, in the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. So you see what God does. Those who seek refuge in the Lord, okay, those who seek refuge are covered. They're covered in the presence. And God hides them. He hides us from the plots of men. You know, I think sometimes we would act differently if we were aware of these truths, that the Lord protects those who take refuge in him. He hides us from the plots of men. Then you store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Doesn't mean strife of tongues doesn't come. But we are sheltered. We are literally stored in the shelter. Oh, I like the New American Standard. From the conspiracies of men, you keep them secretly in the shelter. Yeah, from the plots of men, conspiracies from the tongue. The Lord watches over us. He protects us from those who take their refuge in him. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. Oh, yeah. There was an instance when this happened. And we've talked about it before. I won't get into it right now. But it's one of the cooler examples in Scripture that gives us so much insight. But David basically goes to God and said, hey, I hear Saul is coming after me. I'm here in Keilah, I think it's the name of the place. And we're hiding behind the walls here. And I guess save these people. Are they going to turn me over to Saul? Is Saul going to come to start with? Are they going to turn me over? And God says, yeah, Saul's coming. And yeah, they're going to turn you over. And so it was God's love to him when he was in a besieged city, because then David realized, I can't stay here. I got to get out of here. And there's a lot of other tremendous truths that come out of that passage. So verse 22, David says, I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. So David felt like he was cut off from the sight of God, that God didn't see him, that God couldn't help him. He didn't know what he was going to be doing. But he heard, God heard his voice of pleas when he cried out to him. So last two verses, verse 23, love the Lord, all you saints. So David's bringing a conclusion right here. And remember, this was for the congregation for public worship. Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. So do this, guys. Let us love Yahweh. Let us love the Lord. And the only ones that can truly love him are those who are faithful ones, are the saints, the godly ones. The Lord preserves us. Okay? The Lord will preserve the faithful, but he'll repay abundantly the one who acts in pride or who acts arrogantly. New American Standard says he will fully recompense. Well, that's good, but sort of high and almighty, isn't it? He's going to repay. Okay, he's going to repay. So the final verse, listen to this. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Okay? King James says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That's interesting. There's a little bit of a different emphasis right here. King James, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. New American Standard, be strong. Let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Then the ESV and the Lexham don't mention or don't use the word hope. They use the word wait. It's the same thing. The Hebrew word means to wait, to hope, to expect. So the Lexham says, be strong and let your heart show strength, all you who wait for Yahweh. So we've got some things we're supposed to do. Be strong. Okay, be strong. We make that decision. We're going to be strong in the Lord. Then let your heart take courage. Courage is to be taken by those who are believers. It's accessible to those who are believers. The Lord provides it to believers. But we must take it. We must walk in it. We must let our heart be strengthened by the Lord. And then know this. Continue to put your hope in the Lord. Continue to wait on the Lord. If we wait for Yahweh, if we're strong in him, if we take courage in him, it will be fine. Why is that? Because he preserves the faithful. He loves his saints. He's going to repay those that come against us. Fear not and fret not. We'll actually see that in a little while in some of the Psalms. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.